All right, welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, live from Phoenix. It is 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Mr. Kaufman and I, Steve Isbitz, we've been just frolicking through the NFL owners' meetings for hours upon hours and hours and more hours, Ira. And it's been fun. It's been amazingly educational. I mean, we've learned so much. Sadly, there's only a percentage of it that we can share, but there's still plenty for us to share. We can't even get to all of it in the podcast, but we'll get to some. The rest will be on the website in the coming days. But man, what an opening day of the owners' meetings here, Ira.
We're two tired puppies, I'll tell you that, Steven. But you know what? We're professionals. We're pros. We play hurt. We don't care how much sleep, lack of sleep, whatever. We carry on for our listeners, for our readers. Tell you what, I think they're in for a treat the next couple of days because there's a treasure trove of material that's coming down the pike and fast.
So for those who, I don't really give a crap about the NFL owners meetings or, well, what is this, Ira? Bottom line is this is the one time of year, the spring owners meetings, where the NFL owners are together, general managers, all the head coaches, and the media, and everybody's in close quarters. A lot of mingling, a lot of open access.
Well-heeled resort.
Posh five-star resort. You and I are staying nowhere near this place. We're actually right here at our...
I'm so glad the Super 8 would take us in this week, Stephen. It was outstanding.
We're cutting this podcast as we speak in our highway side place right next to the Skechers outlet where I bought new sneakers today, Kaufman.
Went to In-N-Out Burger. That was a highlight.
In-N-Out Burger. Fantastic. You know, folks...
And I paid for lunch.
Kaufman buys lunch. Yeah, God bless him. He buys lunch. He's trying to tell me, let's just get one fries. They get a lot of fries here. They give you a lot of fries. Let's just get one order.
You said absolutely not.
Not absolutely having any of that, Kaufman. I don't get your paws off my fries. I don't need you counting fries on me. Just throw out your own if you have too much.
All I know is some guy in front of us ordered three double cheeseburgers with shakes, and I was a little worried about the guy.
That was impressive. All right, so here we are, right? So the owners' meetings, what does that mean? Well, today we had a private time with Jason Light, and he gave us some goodies. We're going to share, actually, Jason Light will be on this podcast tonight. So one thing, Ira, that he talked about was Noah Spence.
Fair to say, Jason, that the development, the continued progress of Noah Spence, is critical to getting the kind of pass rush that you want and you envision.
Absolutely.
Is that a reach to say that? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. But I think he's going to do nothing but get better. I mean, that guy's an animal now. I mean, he just eats, drinks, breathes, sleeps football. And he told me the other day, he said, I said, how are you feeling? He goes, I don't even remember which shoulders hurt. So he goes, I'm ready. So
he could be a really disruptive force, Jason.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We love the guy because, once again, he's a fanatic about playing football. That's all he cares about. So,
and Ira, now that we've just heard Jason Light's powerful words about Noah Spence, calling him an animal, talking about his incredible work ethic, and that this guy just eats, breathes, and crap football, you saw his eyes when he was talking about Spence. What did you get off that?
Well, the last time he was this excited, I think he was on his honeymoon, Steve. All I did was ask a simple question about how important the development of Noah Spence in his second pro season would be to the Bucs pass rush, because as you've pointed out, Steve, a few weeks ago, I think it might have been an Indy, Jason Light twice mentioned you can't have enough pass rushers. So I'll say it twice. You can't have enough pass rushers. We look, Golston's coming back. Okay.
Well, let's stick with Spence. Well, I mean,
Chris Baker is okay.
There was a lot of passion.
There was a lot of passion for Noah Spence. I mentioned, could he have a turnaround season? Not turnaround, but Vic Beasley took a while. And he turned into a terror. Big part of Atlanta's success story in 2016. Now, Vic Beasley, I believe, was a higher-rated prospect than Noah Spence. Let's be honest.
First-round pick.
First-round pick. I think he ran a 4-4 something in the combine. But Spence had a better rookie season than Vic Beasley did for the Falcons. Is he going to get 14.5 sacks like Beasley? That's pie in the sky. Look, they're still looking for the first double-digit sacker since Simeon Rice. Noah Spence could be that guy. It could happen as soon as this fall. Jason Light couldn't wait to talk about Noah Spence.
He really couldn't, which is great news. Of course, the Bucs fans, I can smell it already, Ira. They're going to hear that thing from that encouraging words from Light, and that Spence saying that he doesn't even know which shoulder he injured. Good chance that they take it easy on him in OTAs, underwear football. You know, it doesn't mean he'll even practice in April or May. Maybe he comes out for mini camp. There's no reason to put. He did have shoulder surgery, but it doesn't mean he's not healthy. Plenty of guys get held out.
The key is to have him ready for August when they get in pads. He goes out there and tries to beat up on DeMar Dotson and Donovan Smith.
Now, Ira, another pass rusher came up today, but first, the ultimate love that we have here on the podcast flows for Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, proud presenters of all of your work. Everything Ira Kaufman is all about Edmore's Cadillac Brandon and Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. Moore's has more. General Manager Mark Walmsley at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, he believes our customers deserve more at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Like more selection, shop hundreds of brand new Cadillacs, and more savings like a 2017 ATS sedan for just $299 a month. Rush to Edmore's Cadillac Brandon to get more. Click edmorescadillacbrandon.com. See the dealer for all the details and all the specs on the approved credit in 39 months plus tax, tag, title, and dealer fee. Offer expires at the end of the month. Soon, Ira. Soon.
I tried to get you to grab a Cadillac and drive out here 2,200 miles, but you didn't want to hear about it, Steve. So
I know.
I ended up on American Airlines, and we had a middle seat open between us.
It was a nice seat open. It was a perfect spot for all of your biscotti wrappers that I saw you eat. They didn't have peanuts. They passed out biscotti.
I think I cleaned them out of the biscotti. Yes,
he's in biscotti heaven.
Cran apple and a biscotti. I'm a happy man.
I've never seen such a thing.
And I did the crossword puzzle. You know,
with a little help.
That's a triple crown right there.
Small amount of help there.
But we got some good information. You know, we were having a nice chat with Rich McKay tonight.
Well, let's go back. Jason Light, Jack Smith. You asked about Jaquie Smith.
I did.
You know, the 49ers, have people that forgot or didn't see it. He's a restricted free agent coming back from the knee surgery, but the 49ers jumped on Jaquie Smith and brought him in for a visit. So, I mean, you talked to Light about
that. Yeah, I asked Light if there was an update, Steve, in terms of an offer sheet to Smith. Light said he was unaware of it. I saw John Lynch tonight. He didn't say anything about offering Smith an offer sheet, but they are interested. And what Jason Light, you know, really wanted to emphasize was they're not blindsided. They're not surprised at this. When you have a restricted free agent, there's always a chance this happens, Steve. They don't know what's going to happen. I got the feeling that they'd be inclined to match it, unless it was an outrageous offer. And in the words of Jason Light, why should I be surprised? Jaquie Smith is a good football player. You know, for anybody to say that the Bucs weren't prepared for this, they're well aware that if you don't wrap a guy up and keep him away from free agency, even in a restricted manner, there's a chance that another team is going to make a play for your guy.
Yeah, I think on the upside, it just feels kind of good. Hey, if other teams are interested in Jaquie Smith, well, maybe he's a little bit better than we thought. Maybe
off an injury.
Maybe his recovery is going a little bit better than thought as well. Usually, a lot of that comes about by his agent calling around saying, hey, Jack is 2 months ahead of schedule, and this is somebody to look at, and the Bucs are getting a steal here, and you might want to take a look.
Hey,
so,
a year ago at this time, Steve, the Bucs had pretty high hopes for Jaquie Smith. You know, I think he had 7 sacks the year before when he was healthy. And, you know, last year was a lost season. We'll see what happens in 2017.
One of the most unspoken yet controversial moves of last year, Ira, having Jaquie Smith run down on kickoffs, and that's where he blew his knee out, in Atlanta. Now, not a lot of teams will have a 7.5 sack guy running down on kickoffs. I get that you have to have somebody do it, but, man, tough break.
In retrospect, looks like a poor decision. You know, hindsight, 2020.
Always 2020.
Always 2020. But as you said, arguably their best edge rusher going into, 2016. We didn't know anything about Noah Spence. He hadn't, done anything as a pro. Golston, negligible on the pass rush. You know, Robert Ayers coming over to the Bucs for the first time. Next thing you know, Jaquie Smith is placed in a vulnerable position, and the Bucs pay a severe price for it.
One thing I talked to Light about, which was a little bit interesting, I haven't written it for JoeBucsFan.com yet, so people are getting some real juice on this podcast. I asked Light about fullback, saying, hey, last year at these owners' meetings, Dirk Cutter was talking about We're going to get a fullback. We're going to get a fullback. We lost Javorski Lane. And, of course, Light went out and drafted one. Didn't work out. Dan Vitale. And the Bucks never really got a fullback. And I asked Light, you know, hey, good free agent fullbacks were floating around this year. You didn't touch one. And I know you picked up this guy in free agency, but, you know, a no-name. What do you think of him? And does this mean that Dirk isn't a fullback guy anymore? And Light pretty much said in so many words that, yeah, the offense is evolving and Dirk's evolving, and maybe fullback just isn't as important to us as it used to be.
That's the sense I got too, Steve. You know, things change, philosophies change, your roster changes. And I think at this point in his coaching career, and Dirk's been doing this a long time and been very successful at putting points in, on the board and keep the chains moving, I think he's adjusted his philosophy, and it doesn't appear where fullback's any kind of a priority position for Dirk Koetter.
Which is interesting, really, mainly not because of fullback, but because of 2 years ago, they had a fullback, and that was a big part of their offense, and you know they were top five in the league. And now he's evolved out of it, so it seems, you know, something to watch, a little bit of nuance. Now, the party, okay? Here's the thing, Ira. Owners' meetings, this is the most unique time in the NFL.
Low-key, relaxed.
The NFL throws a huge party.
Open bar.
Party beyond party.
Which is what you wanted to know about.
Open bar, which is maybe why this podcast is moving at its slower pace. Open bar, incredible food. It's for the owners, outdoors. For the owners, their families.
They got a band playing.
Live music. Fireworks show.
Yeah, fireworks show.
Owners, their families. Coaches, their families. Media and general managers and their families. And this is the only time that guys like us, schlubs like us, the average...
We cozy up a little bit.
Joe Bag of Donuts. We're mingling with billionaires and the big shots. And everybody's in the same ballpark.
I'm trying to pick up some pocket change that might have fallen on the ground, you know, outside the pool over there. I'm on all fours. You say, Kaufman, what are you doing down there? But I want to throw out one thing that.
We're at this party tonight.
Yes.
And we're mingling. We're talking to everybody under the sun, and you know, we'll get to some of that. But go ahead.
All right. I want to throw out something that I asked Dirk Koetter tonight. I asked him. There seems to be a little bit of a chatter that Jameis Winston needs to be a better long-distance thrower. You know, his accuracy might be a little off, his timing with Mike Evans. Mike Evans was open a couple of times last year in some critical situations. The Dallas game comes to mind. And, you know, a big play like that could turn a game around. And Dirk Koetter said quite simply, you know, I didn't call enough and we didn't complete enough. And then he smiled. Now, what did that smile mean? Well, he paused. Beautiful comic effect, you know, just like a good Vegas comic. And he said, and we didn't have DeSean Jackson either, and a big smile. So, you know, having that kind of game breaker on the opposite side, I think the feeling at one buck place is this: it's a game changer. It's going to open up our entire offense.
One thing you hit Jason Light with during our time with him was backup quarterback. Not the most important position in the world, but it can be. And clearly the Bucks had overtures toward Nick Foles, and they were ready to offer Mike Glennon $8 million.
They had a comfort level with Mike Glennon the last couple of years.
You know? I mean, they were ready to pay Glennon to be that backup. And you talked to Light about that, and essentially he said, you hit him with, what do we know? What are we going to say about the backups we have now?
Jason, I don't want to jinx you, but you know, and I know, been a little fortunate with your man under center. He's taken virtually every snap for 2 years. That doesn't happen all the time in this league. What's your comfort level with the guys behind them? Buck fans are a little nervous. Guys haven't thrown an NFL pass. What's your comfort level at this point?
Well, I'll say this. There are a lot of teams that are don't have a very good comfort level with the number one quarterback that they have. We're lucky that we do have comfort with that guy.
Having said that, he's
been durable. We do like the competition that we have with Ryan Griffin and Sean Renfrey. We like that. Those are both two guys that we liked. And you know how it is. A guy can go from unknown to known very quickly. If he has to go out there and play and he plays well, all of a sudden he becomes, you know, his market goes way up.
So it's not a very uneasy feeling for you at this time?
It may not be as uneasy. It's not as uneasy as what the perception seems to be out there. We thought Ryan Griffin played well last preseason. We like everything he's done.
You see him when fans don't see him.
Yeah, we see him every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's done, he's proven to us, he's done everything that he's had to prove that, that he deserves to compete for this position. The only thing he hasn't done is play in a regular season game. So, and that's not his fault.
All right, so we just heard Light explain that he likes Brian Griffin and everything that he's shown, and he likes the competition with Renfrey.
And Cutter reiterated that, Steve. He reiterated later in the day. You know, why try a retread? I mean, it's a very interesting way to approach the subject of a backup quarterback. First thing Cutter said was outstanding. Heck, there's 10 teams out there that don't like their starting quarterback. That's a line that's hard to argue with. We're talking about a backup quarterback, Steve. We got to remember that. Does anybody know, you know, who Drew Brees' backup is, or Ben Roethlisberger? It might be Gradkowski, for all we know, in Pittsburgh. And nobody talks about these guys. Well, the idea is if your quarterback goes down for any length of time, you're done. That's the common thesis around the league.
Yeah, and that's a little bit ironic, since in that conversation that we had with Cutter, Cutter was in Jacksonville when Luke McCown was sent over there by the Bucs and didn't work out for Luke. He started a little bit, and he just wasn't a starter. Now he's gone to the Saints. He's been Drew Brees' backup for a while, but he's not a guy who can't be a starter for you. Every time he goes in, it's not that great most of the time.
It seems like it's a little culture club of backup quarterbacks, the Blaine Gabberts of the world, the Chase Daniels. But these guys have proven they can't get the job done.
Yeah,
so
I think the point,
the Bucs see Ryan Griffin every day, and Buck fans and the media do not, and they kind of like this kid.
The consensus was from talking to, I'll say this, Ira, from talking to Cutter and to Light, and then Light later, was, hey, we'll take the guys that have a higher ceiling that we don't necessarily know how they can perform versus the guys who you know stink. Even though they have some experience, even though they each have some skill, we're okay with it. I think they maybe played their shot for Nick Foles, who they liked in this system as a system fit, and didn't work out. So they'll take the guy they know is a system fit in Ryan Griffin, even though they've never seen him throw an NFL pass.
And they lost Glennon because Glennon wants to be a starter, and he found a team that's going to give him that chance.
And I also will say this, Ira. I think it magnifies the chance that the Bucs actually draft a developmental quarterback, 6th, 7th round. Because, hey, if they don't like the retreads, then develop your own guy. And that might be what we're looking at for this year. So, yeah, a little bit of insight
there. Are you planning on breaking any news Tuesday morning, Mr. Isbitz?
Yes, you know what? I forgot. Hey, we have some breaking news, and we will break that right after this word from Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. I had to throw that in there, Ira. Yeah, we love Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. It's not just a word for Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. It's a way of life. They're so good to us with Edmore's Cadillac, Brandon. Morse has more, and that's how it is this month at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. Everyone wants more time, more savings, more benefits. You'll always get more at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. Lease a 2017 CTS for just $489 a month. Sign and drive and enjoy the many benefits of being an Edmore's Cadillac Tampa customer, like complimentary digital alignment checks, car washes, courtesy transportation, and so much more. Click edmorescadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. Unbelievable, Ira.
And you're about to go into overdrive, aren't you, Mr. Isbitz? Reporting overdrive, because you got something for our listeners right now.
Yeah, it may be on Joe Bucks Fan right now. It may be showing up at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., whatever. Bottom line is that practice facility, that indoor practice facility that fans have been clamoring for, that some people just have a wicked, I don't want to say any bad words, but they're just hot in the pants for this thing.
And which we haven't heard a lot about recently.
One that we haven't heard anything about, and one that Jameis said that, why don't we have one of these here? Well, we've learned that the indoor practice facility at One Buck Palace is quite far along in its development, and it's expected to be ready for this season. And we will get some more details when we talk to Joel Glazer later today, but
that's good news all the way
around.
Take
that to the
Steve.
Bank, and it's exciting news on a lot of levels. Why do you like it, Ira?
I think it completes a great facility, a state of the art facility. The Bucks didn't spare a lot of expense, and we all know where they came from, Steve. That place was dilapidated. Yeah, it was quaint in retrospect. You can call it quaint, but you know, I was a guy who was out there, you know, and it didn't look that quaint when players were eating in a crowded corridor with no place to sit down. It wasn't quaint when the workbenches and the weights were outside in 97 degree heat. So they got a great facility, and boy, I'll never forget it, Steve. I think it was the day that they introduced Winston to Tampa, and after he finished at the podium, they brought him into the media room, Steve. They sat him down. You know, there were 8 or 10 of us, and one of us mentioned something about an indoor practice facility. Jameis didn't hesitate. He goes, we're going to have that. And I looked at you, and you looked at me, and we kind of said, yeah, they're gonna get that. Was Winston the driving force? Maybe, maybe not. But the fact that he felt passionate about it certainly didn't help hurt the project. And I think it's gonna help. I think it's gonna help this team in a myriad of ways. Take the weather out of the equation during training camp. Steve, they've been lucky the last couple of years in training camp. They have been lucky. We know what the rains can do. You know, August 6th and August 8th and August 10th here in Tampa, and they haven't lost a lot of practice time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. They've had some pretty good luck, I thought, with the weather in a lot of ways, but they've had their share of bad luck, and that's the way it's going to go down here. The indoor practice facility, it's not a cure-all, but if you can use it effectively and do some things with it that you think might help, there are ways you can get creative with it, and it's just another arsenal in the tool belt. Might not mean much, but it can. And you know what? Maybe Roberto Aguayo just can't kick outdoors, Ira. Maybe he needs the hum of an air conditioner to help him kick.
I felt a great complex felt a little bit incomplete without this. And I think it's a nice touch. Joel Glazer, we'll talk more about it tomorrow, Steve. But he indicated, you know, there's going to be more improvements that Buck fans will notice this fall at Ray J. He says the stadium's holding up well. And all this comes in the backdrop of the NFL's third relocation in the last couple of years, as it's announced that the Raiders will be heading to Vegas, I think, in 2020. Steve?
So to recap, today you and I will be meeting separately, independently, with Team Glazer. Joel Glazer is the expected man of the hour for us to grill and drink.
We'll also get AFC coaches, Steve, at breakfast.
We got the AFC coaches in the morning, and then Friday we got breakfast with Dirk Cutter.
Wednesday.
Dying over here, Calvin. Wednesday with Dirk Cutter. So we got plenty more to come. We got plenty more from Light. But I got to set this a little bit, Ira. This party, it's like, a bar mitzvah on steroids or something.
You're making it sound like an orgy or something over there, Steve. I mean, it's a very polite, well-heeled party.
Yeah, but this is new to me. I don't go to these types of things.
You were certainly properly... I'm glad you wore some shoes instead of shorts and
my pickleball outfit.
But you were presentable, Isbits. And what struck you the most, I think, was here in this low-key atmosphere, you were accusing me of grilling Light and Cutter, getting in their grill, and acting, sort of like Perry Mason with a nervous witness. You were amazed at my whole style of inquisition,
especially in that atmosphere. I've seen you with that style of inquisition, but you're in these people's faces.
I did have a red wine in my hand, maybe more than one.
Yeah, and so did they. You know, we're not saying Dirk Cutter wasn't relaxed at his. At the party and chatting with us, but you were grilling, Ira. Hard.
How many sushi pieces did you polish off tonight, Isbits?
Double digits.
Counting at double digits at 18.
I didn't go that high.
You didn't go that high.
But double digits. Excellent sushi.
You got a little soy sauce on your on the side of your mouth.
I don't eat it with soy sauce. That's for amateurs, Ira. Soy sauce is for amateurs.
What do we got coming up the rest of the week?
Well, listen, so at the party, you know, we're talking all kinds of different movers and shakers. Now, you went directly up to a Redskins source at that party, a legitimate Redskins source at that party, and you had a pointed question about Mr. Chris Baker, the new Bucs defensive tackle. You wanted to get the scoop on him. What's the deal? What were you told?
I can wrap it up in one sentence. Good guy, good player, comma, doesn't like to practice. Now, we'll see what happens when training camp starts in early August. But that's his reputation, Steve, right now. Doesn't mean the Bucs made a mistake. good, effective football player. We'll see how it works out. He's playing next to a good football player in Gerald McCoy. Be part of a little combination with Clinton McDonald. And got three veteran defensive tackles right there. That could be a position of strength for the Bucs in 2017. So nothing terribly said about the team that lost Chris Baker. But, you know, practice habits could be a little better. Let's just put it like that. And being around you for the last 8 months, I could say the same thing about you.
Doesn't like to practice. Ah, come on. It's a red flag, Ira.
It's a red flag, but the guy shows what he puts on film. What he
I
puts
get
on
it.
Film
I get
is
it.
Good.
So, yeah, we had a guy who...
We're talking about practice.
We got a
We're
guy,
talking about practice.
We had a guy who had some decent film around here, had a couple of good years, earned a second contract, didn't like to practice. His name was Styles White. Is this the next Styles White is what you're saying?
Come on, Styles White was an anomaly. There's your word for today. He was a goofball. He had a little talent, Styles, but I'm not sure he loved football. And just because this guy, you know, Allen Iverson didn't like to practice, but Allen Iverson loved to play basketball. I'm not comparing this guy to a Hall of Famer. Baker's an upgrade.
Chris Baker gets a clean slate from everyone in Bucs Nation. But very interesting that you're sitting there having, you know, this was not antagonistic. You wanted to know the scoop. You got the scoop. And I believe it. There was no... no reason for anyone to lie there. No malice. No bad blood. Like you said,
doesn't approach practice with enthusiasm. Let's put it like this. You know, unlike you and I.
We'll see. Maybe that'll change. We will find out.
More to come the rest of the week, Steve. More to come.
So much more to come through the week.
Don't forget, we get Cutter for 45 minutes Wednesday
hour,
morning.
An hour. And it's and just the only people here locally. It's Rick Stroud from Tampa Bay Times and you and me.
I don't want you dominating that 1 hour. I want to get my questions in two over there.
We'll slug it out. You know. We'll slug it out. Know your place, Kaufman. Know your place. All right. Hey, appreciate you hanging with us here on late night / early morning on the Ira Kaufman podcast. I mean, we could sit here with all the stuff we've learned. If we had the juice, if we had coffee, if it was the middle of the day, we could sit here and talk for 4 hours.
I appreciate, Steve, I appreciate you showing some rare class tonight on this podcast because you could be telling our listeners how You had Cutter pigeonholed for 25 minutes, and then when I walked over, within 3 or 4 minutes, I drove Cutter back towards the bar with my barrage of questions. So you could have told that story, but you got too much class for that, Steve.
Too much class, Eric. Too much class.
When's the last time somebody said that about you?
I don't know what to say after.
We're going to do another podcast before we get out of Phoenix, correct, Steven? I believe we are.
Next podcast is Thursday, and we'll have plenty to say, and it'll be a whole new Bucs world by then with all the stuff that can be coming out. So, all right, thank you for joining the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Keep doing what you're doing, folks, listening on iTunes, Podbean, right here on JoeBucsFan.com. Numbers have been fantastic.
Steve says my numbers are looking good.
Many thousands listening. No surprise, though, because where else are you going to get the custodian of Canton?
And we got Jason Light on this podcast, too. So, you know, maybe that's a harbinger of things to come this year.
I don't count on it, Kaufman. He was just throwing you a bone.
Must you piss on every thing that I get enthused about, Isbitz?
Absolutely.